Hey, everybody. What you're about to hear is a free preview of a podcast on our $5 exclusive episodes tier at patreon.com/retronauts. And if you want to hear the whole thing, please go to patreon.com/retronauts and sign up at the $5 exclusive episodes tier. Once you do that, you'll get access to all of our previous exclusive episodes and our future ones as well, as long as you remain a patron, and our exclusive episodes will launch every other Friday. Again, that is the Retronauts Patreon at patreon.com/retronauts, and I'll let you get to this free preview of one of our exclusive episodes. So up next, we have the first real Garfield game, Garfield Big Fat Hairy Deal. And Big Fat Hairy Deal was like a lesser Garfield expression in the early days. We'd eventually have like I Hate Mondays and whatever else Garfield would say. But this phrase would pop up in a lot of the specials and a lot of the songs. And yeah, this is the name of his first game. And this is a British microcomputer game. And I don't know if it came out in the States, but it does resemble a lot of games at this time. And they're very short, very difficult. Often the graphics are very good, but they're very awkward in terms of how they interact with the gameplay. And the music is great, but it fits nothing that's happening on the screen.
It is ludicrous to me that the British got all of these Garfield games at the height of Garfield mania, and we got nothing. Like, it's... Well, I mean, I think Garfield's appeal is universal, but it's like, why would they... I feel like the only reason they got it is that it was a cheaper license in England to get it, and no one wanted to pay for it in America.
Yeah, I don't know what its popularity was in the UK, but this game is really just an adventure game that is padded out with lots of exploration. And if you look at the actual fact for this game, you have to do 7 things, but they are all just the most Moon Logic adventure game stuff. It's just like, well, Garfield needs to open this treasure chest. What do? Well, you go to the health food store, you buy the spinach donut, and you feed it to the rat that's running back and forth. It's that kind of thing. And this is like a, weirdly enough, this is a survival game, in that there is a hunger meter and a fatigue meter. To refill the fatigue meter, you just don't move Garfield. So you just sit around in your computer chair in 1987 and wait.
You know, that's accurate for Garfield. Yes. That's actually good gameplay design. Faithful.
The hunger meter is just the way for the game to screw you out of finishing it, because it's a very short game. It's like a 17 minute long play, in that if the hunger meter depletes completely, Garfield will eat the item that's currently in his inventory. So you need to watch that meter. You need to pick up a food item before it depletes, so Garfield eats that instead of the item you need. Then you pick the item you need back up again. It's very... Garfield is a pioneer in the survival game space.
Yeah, this game was definitely wild to watch. I'm glad I tried to emulate some of these games. I'm glad this was not one of them, because it's really just a series of bartering riddles, mm-hmm. and you actually have no idea what you're... You complete these series of trades to fetch keys that go in places you don't anticipate. And I think it all leads up to you freeing Arlene from the pound, but that's never really established from what I could see. I looked at the Amiga gameplay, but I don't know. I think, like, if I could compare this to if the Bigoron Sword quest was its own game,
yes.
and you didn't know what the Bigoron Sword was at the end. So you're just doing a bunch of trades, and then you get to this ending, and you're like, oh, I guess this is what this was all for.
It's a lot of trading back and forth with no real logic why certain things are traded, why you need to use a spinach donut on a rat. Mm-hmm. And you rescue Arlene from the pound, but it's actually, you're like in this weird sewer area. It's very surreal and weird. And Garfield, I don't think there are any real enemies in the game, but Garfield can kick, like he does the traditional Odie boot. And so you can kick around Odie. I think one of the first puzzles is you need to kick Odie towards the door so he opens the doggy door so you can escape. So yeah, a lot of these games will incorporate Garfield's famous, like, the boot, the mighty foot of Garfield kicking you off the table. But it's a very, very weird game. It actually reminds me of the Alf game for the Master System, in that it's a bad platformer with these weird adventure game puzzles interspersed throughout all of this traveling around.
The health meter is a pile of pizzas, which again, it's like, of course, Garfield will eat a pizza all day, but I guess, again, like, what, pans of lasagna might not really read as much as a stack of pizzas, I suppose. But yeah, also, there's some angles, like when Garfield just walks straight forward, looks okay.
Yeah.
But when he has to like climb a ladder or turn around, I'm like, oh, that is not what Garfield climbing a ladder should look like. It's horrifying, really.
We'll see different versions of how people interpret Garfield in their own art style, and some of them don't always work.
The straight-ahead Garfield, too. That's like such an ugly, hideous Garfield.
Garfield, show me. Oh, sorry, Michelle. Yeah. We were looking at the disgusting Garfield head-on view, front-facing Garfield.
I think a lot of the games choose different models to work with for Garfield's sprite, but this one is fun because it feels like they change models within the game a couple times.
Yeah.
On the view. Like front-facing one is my favorite. In the version I watch, he kind of does this little dance as he walks through like the yard gate, and it's fun every time.
Yeah, like every version of this game, like there are several versions of this game for different microcomputers. The Commodore 64 version, Garfield is just almost constantly on all fours walking around, which is very weird to see. It's almost like a horror movie. I'm not used to seeing Garfield move around like that.
Oh, and well, in Nurmal on all fours in the same game also just looks wrong. It's like, I mean, it's hard to animate things walking, especially in a pixel era where you have to, you know, arrange pixels, but oof, does not look good.
Yeah, the last thing I want to say about this game, and I want any UK friends out there, like, let me know if you play this, because I was just discovering these games existed upon doing research for this episode, but it's made by this UK developer called The Edge. They would become Edge Games, and Edge Games, notably, their main presence in the industry was being a trademark troll for the use of the word edge in a video game. Mm-hmm. So for a long time, they were successful in protecting their rights to use the word edge, which is why the Japanese fighting game Soul Edge had to become Soul Blade. But I think that over time, they have been defeated, and now it's safe to use the word edge in your game title again. But that was basically what they did, just protect the word edge.
Yeah, I think that's how I learned about the idea of patent trolling. Was mm-hmm. like, oh, this thing, like, yeah, that you could own the rights to have just the word edge related to a video game was this guy's company. It's pretty crazy.